following contains language of a frank and explicit nature. Discretion is advised.
This is Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul and Bernie Siplicki.
The two of you were under restraining orders to stay away from each other.
You're going to get it now.
Sports Saturday is powered in part by Green City Garage, an environmentally responsible garage in South Burlington, working on all makes and models, specializing in your family's car, truck, or SUV. Top Hat Entertainment, helping you with all your party needs from DJs to inflatables. They have it all. Vermont Mortgage Company, mortgage expertise dedicated to Vermonters. See how easy obtaining the right mortgage can be. And Romanto's Pizza, delivering within a 10-mile radius of Taft Corners.
Taft Corners is in Williston.
Try them for your next wing order, too. 879-1000.
You need to start throwing bombs, baby!
This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
Living the dream, baby, living the dream.
Are living the dream, and we're taking you with us. It's Sports Saturday. Good morning on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. I am your host, Jeff Paul, and the big fella, Bernie Siplicki, in the big seat. What's happening, man?
Nothing, my friend. How you doing today?
655. I'm doing great. Thank you for asking. 655-6672 is the number to call if you want to join our conversation today. And obviously, we've got a big day today. 802-655-6672. Or if you don't want to call us and you'd rather text us, because that's what the kids are doing nowadays, you can join the Town Fair Tire text line at the exact same number, 802-655-6672. So Joe from Superb Cupcakes, a former sponsor of ours, is a big Eagles fan, and he told me that he wanted to call because he thinks I've been kind of annoying about the Eagles lately. He gets mad at me as a Giant fan, so now he knows he can text me, so now he's going to start texting the show, probably saying negative things about me. So that's something for you to look forward to, Bernie.
Yeah, I will look forward to that, and I think it's funny, like, you know, he's upset about the Eagles and us with the Giants, and even before the show started, I had a couple of friends. Oh, when are we going to talk about the Giants, you know, depth at outside middle linebacker coming up after they go 3-13?
Next week. We'll get back on that wagon next week. Producer Aaron Wells. Aaron, let me just say this. Listen, you had the takeover for a legend, our boy Dave Hunter, you know, legendary producer we had here for the first couple years. And by the way, we're about to be 3 years old, Bernie. This show's going to be 3 years old end of the month. What do you think of that?
Kind of how we act, so that's good.
That's kind of true. That's good. But Aaron, you've done a really good job. I just wanted to thank you for all the work you've done for us, the promos you've put on during the week, you know, the promote our show has been awesome. So you've been a great addition to our team. We're really proud of that. Kevin from Colchester, did Jeff and Bernie watch Virginia beat Duke together last week? No, Kevin, we did not. Okay, I told Bernie I refused to watch any game with Bernie, but my Wahoo Waz came out on top for the first time in 25 years last week at Cameron Indoor Arena. Oh, it was awesome.
First time in 25 years.
It's been a long time. I remember the last time it happened, but Duke was a terrible team that year, but what a win for my Cavaliers. We'll talk more about the Virginia Cavaliers after this
weekend.
We're
not talking any college basketball.
No, next week we are. Next week, it's on. I've already got things set up. We're going to be talking college hoops. In fact, today, just so you guys know, I'm only going to be here for an hour today. You're going to have to do this by yourself. You and Aaron are doing it next hour.
I can't do it.
You and Aaron are doing it next hour because I'm going to a wedding. I got to head to a wedding this Super Bowl weekend. That's where I'm going. I'm going to be at a wedding. I'm not going to be getting ready for the Super Bowl.
Well, you know what? You should appreciate that because you'll be with your lovely bride.
That's true.
And you can reflect upon the wonderful time you guys have spent together.
She's going to be in the studio at like 20. She wants me. She goes, we're leaving at 10:45. I'm on the air at 10:45. She goes, I'm going to be in that studio dragging you out at 10:45.
Good. She'll be on the air.
Yeah, so she'll be on the air. So she'll be in. Hey, what a show we have. I'm excited about it. We've got Angry Philly Fan coming on at 10:20. We know AC is a huge Eagles fan. He's going to come in studio with us, and we're going to talk Eagles football with him at 10:20. The other thing people probably don't know about our buddy AC from Philly is that he is a big-time foodie. So I want to talk to him about what he's going to eat for the big game. You know what I mean? He might be too nervous to eat. No, dude, not this guy. This guy eats. You're going to lay it down. He's not going to be too. So he's going to join the show at 10:20. We're going to talk to Chris Villani at 11:20. Actually, you're going to talk to Chris Villani, Patriot Insider from WEEI, to talk about what we can expect from the Patriots, which will probably be another victory. But Chris is going to join you to talk about that, Bern.
Can't wait.
No, please, Bernie. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, Chris is very knowledgeable about the Patriots and has a good perspective of it. So I'm looking forward to hearing him his opinion on the game.
And I'm bummed that I'm going to miss this interview, because the question I want to have is, what happened to the cat from WEI that went after Brady's daughter, the guy who got suspended? What do you think about that? From that, have you watched any of those, by the way, the Tom versus Time things?
I don't have enough time to watch
them. I'm going
to
tell you something. You have got to watch those. Nah. I'm telling you, you're going to love Tom Brady after you watch these things.
Nah.
I'm telling you, you're going to love him. And then Ryan Schneider, UVM men's basketball coach, assistant coach, is going to join you at 11:40. Those cats keep on rolling, buddy, and they got another big game this afternoon at 3:30 against UM. Actually, the game's at 4 o'clock. Coverage starts right here on 101.3 ESPN at 3:30 against UMBC. Hey, Valentine's Day is going to be for your lover, but it's also going to be for an America East championship potentially for the Catamounts.
Yes, two big games for the Catamounts coming up on the road down at UMBC, opening the first game in their brand new $90 million facility that has just been built on the campus of UMBC. So it'll be real interesting to watch this game. As you can imagine, it's going to be a sellout as they're looking to get a historic win and knock the Catamounts off the pedestal of as the king of the mountain.
And I would say the UMBC game was the game that I thought the University of Vermont defense really came alive. That was the game where going into that game, there was some doubt. They knew they could score. We had the injury issues. You knew they were dealing with the nervous people around here were really nervous about the defense. But that UMBC game was a game, Brian, that I thought UVM really put it on the floor defensively.
They did a tremendous job. Jarius Lyles is one of the best players in the league, if not the best player in the league, other than Trey Bell Haynes, that Vermont's going to have to contend with today. And it's a little unnerving. If Vermont can get through this one, and then they go to Albany on Thursday, 7 o'clock on ESPNU, and they get that one.
No problem. No problem.
Yeah, it's not what you said about Virginia.
But
if you're a college basketball fan, you got to take time. You got to watch Purdue. You got to watch Villanova. Two teams that don't get a lot of...
Excuse me. You're not going to put my team in there either?
No, you watch them.
Yeah, but tell everybody else to watch them.
Nah.
Hey, if you want to watch you want to watch a great coach. I mean, I'm telling you,
watch
right
Villanova,
now,
and
watch
Purdue.
Virginia. Watch Virginia. I'm just telling you, they get more out of nothing. Tony Bennett at Virginia gets more out of nothing in the country. He does.
We're not talking about this till next week.
All right, fine. Next week. Okay. All right, hey, did you watch the 30 for 30, the two Bills?
You mean the Parcells way, not the Patriot way?
Oh my goodness! Let me just say this: any Giant fan that watched that
show, we gotta be careful.
Any Giant fan that I'm not going to, listen, I'm not going to, what are we talking about?
Well, we're talking about the Giants.
Oh, yeah, I don't care. Well, I have a pretty pertinent point here, though. Any Giant fan that watched that show and isn't rooting for the New England Patriots tomorrow,
you're Bon Jovi.
Didn't watch the show.
You're Bon Jovi.
I am not Bon Jovi.
You are Bon Jovi.
No, I'm
you
not.
Are absolutely Bon Jovi.
First of all,
now you understand why.
Do I have a Patriots shirt on?
Does Bon Jovi, he Giants?
Jumped ship. Bon Jovi's now a Patriot fan. Okay, I'm not a Patriot fan, but I am rooting for the Pats tomorrow because I'm telling you, Bill Belichick.
So if you're rooting for them, how are you not a fan?
Against the Philadelphia Eagles, I'm a big-time Patriot fan. Yeah. I don't like the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm a Giants fan. I can't imagine if Philly wins the championship. I just don't want to see it. But what I'm telling you is, that was my Giant feeling going into this game.
Now you got the Slippery When Wet album, Wanted Dead or Alive album ready. You are Bon Jovi.
That's not true. What I'm saying now is that after watching that and seeing how emotional Bill Belichick got, think about that for a minute. Remember he started to cry kind of when he was in the coaches' rooms. He really is a Giant. I mean, you can see it. And when you watch that, and if you watch the show and you watch the transition and all how it happened, we can kind of break that down if we had to. But it's the Giant. You're absolutely right. It's the Bill Parcells Giant way
that Belichick copied and exploded.
He copied it, but he just took it
to another level.
What he did was he took the Bill Parcells way of running a team with Bill Belichick's genius. And created something in New England. And really, that's why for me, I think anyone that goes back in our 2.5 years of doing this show, I've always said, I always respected the Patriots because to me, Bill Belichick is a New York Giant. And I'm telling you, I don't know how a Giant fan can't be rooting for Bill Belichick tomorrow if they watch the show. I don't know. Just with the simple fact that they're playing the Philadelphia Eagles is enough for me. But after watching that, I mean, it was amazing. Honestly, I didn't realize how close the bonds were.
My favorite line in the movie was when Belichick and Parcells were in front of the four Super Bowls of the Giants, and Belichick goes, "Yeah, we gave him those two."
Oh, yeah. These are the two that we got. These are the two we gave him. That was really neat. And I thought the other thing that was really cool was, you know, the emotional part of things where they were sitting in this room and they were talking with each other. And the other thing that I was struck was like, was how, and again, I have a lot of respect for myself, but I didn't realize Bill Parcells had gotten so, you know, elderly. You know, I mean, it's amazing. Yeah. You know, time just flies by.
I know.
You know?
I mean, not all of us can age as gracefully as you, Jeff.
That's true.
That's let's not kid ourselves.
First of all, Bernie, I mean,
you got a fresh cut for the wedding again. You got another one.
Yeah. Oh, I know. You like my new untucked shirt? This is one of those untucked shirts. No, I did shave. I'm keeping this.
Okay.
Because if I shave this, it's not good.
Why?
I don't know. I just don't think it's good.
Why do you not think it's good?
Because I've seen myself and it's not good. I'm just saying.
What's Monica think? I'll ask her.
She likes this. She likes the beard. She likes the facial hair. She does.
All right.
And I kind of like having the facial hair with the bald head. I think it makes me look like more rugged. You know what I mean?
With that shirt, absolutely.
Yeah, it's nice. This is a nice shirt, right? You like this shirt? I feel like I'm hip today, man. I feel like I'm looking hip. Am I not?
I'm the wrong guy to talk about fashion.
Actually, you dress well. All I do is dress in action wear. But you have good action wear. I'm always impressed with your action wear. And you have to admit, do I not always comment, hey, nice, that's a cool sweatshirt?
Yes.
You know, usually I'm saying that because it's usually Colchester. So it came from Colchester High School. I'm thinking maybe soccer season, Burns going to, usually doesn't happen. No. But, you know, like that's a good looking sweatshirt right there. I like that Colchester sweatshirt.
Santa Claus got it for me.
Yeah, it's a nice one. Santa Claus always does well. Have you watched any of the Tom versus Time things yet?
Haven't had the time to watch Tom.
Oh, I'm telling you, you got to watch that too.
Yeah.
Tom Brady is like kind of and again, here we go.
Bon Jovi.
I understand where you're coming from, but I'm not jumping. I'm not a Patriot fan, Bernie.
Yeah, you are.
No, I'm not.
Okay.
I'm just going to root for him tomorrow, I think. I don't even know if I'm going to root, but I'm just saying, how can you not be coming?
Well, you're not even going to be able to watch it. You're going to be renewing your vows.
I'm not renewing my vows.
Oh.
I'll be driving home from that. But now
you'll be driving home?
There's supposed to be, yeah, I got to come home. Like, the wedding's this afternoon.
Okay.
In like 3 hours away, someplace in some mountain resort, someplace in New Hampshire. I'm going to head that way.
All right.
And then there's supposed to be snow tomorrow. Hopefully I'll be able to make it back. That's not what I heard. I was looking at my Weather Channel app this morning and it said the snow's going to start like at 6 in the morning here.
Tomorrow morning?
Yeah. And it's supposed to snow and then snow at night. I hope, and I'm going to be at a ski resort. Just telling
perfect.
You. It's not perfect.
It's going to snow and you're going to be at a ski resort.
I don't want to ski. I'm not skiing.
Why not?
You're going to ski? Are you a skier, Burn? I'd like to see you on a pair. I'm not skiing.
I got one word for you.
No, I'm not.
Avalanche.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, that would be a lot like me if I was out there. So the Tom versus Time things, you haven't watched any. Well, if you haven't watched those either, I'm telling you. And have you, Aaron, you haven't watched them yet either. And you're a big Patriot fan.
I have not watched them yet. I'm kind of ashamed of it.
You got to watch them. They're unbelievable.
I'll get there.
They are really good. I mean, it's interesting to see what he goes through to keep his body in shape, what he does do to, you know, and the kind of guy he is. It's hard not to like Tom Brady. It really is. Look at you. I mean, you are just, you honestly,
I respect him. I don't have to like him.
Oh, he's a good guy. And the other thing I kind of like about him is, you know, they had a couple parts where he was like working out and his shirt was off. And I'm like, that dude kind of looks like a normal guy. He's got a little belly. He's not real muscular. I'm like, that's kind of like me. I mean, I'm like, that's kind of cool. Yeah, I mean, I'm not as tall and I don't have the hair and I'm not good looking. But I mean, other than that, I mean, Tom Brady and I are a lot alike.
No.
I'm just telling you, he's a likable guy.
Good.
And that show is a likable show, I'm telling you. And it's only like 4 minutes long. These are very short shows.
Really?
Yeah. They're short.
Oh, okay.
They're not very long.
I got a shot then. My attention span's not that good.
No, we all know that.
What were we talking about?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Oh, my God. So are you doing anything food-wise for the Super Bowl?
I'm going to deep fry a turkey. I've got it.
How long does that take?
Hour.
You got to be very careful with that, Bernie.
Ah, well, let's have some fun, man.
Do you do it like on your deck?
Oh, I'm doing it in the kitchen. Let's go for it.
You're going to burn the house down.
I'm doing it in the backyard.
Here's my buddy again. He's sending me the text. Only you could spin this into a Giants talk show again. It's pertinent. The Giants are pertinent with this. The 30 for 30 was pertinent. Right, Bern?
Yeah, I thought it was great, and it's a reflection on how great the Patriots are because they...
Are we like, do we talk about the Giants too much?
Absolutely.
I'll defend you on this one. We talked about the 30 for 30 a bunch during the week, and we didn't just talk about Bill Belichick.
Oh, there you
go. And none of those guys are Giants fans.
See, there you go. Before we go to break, though, I want to say, so I have a guy that comes in my restaurant every day, really good guy, and he was telling me, you know what he's making for the Super Bowl? Grilled cheese chili dogs.
Nice.
So what he's doing is he's taking a grilled cheese sandwich... And he's going to press some, like you make the grilled cheese.
Make it a bun?
Makes that in the bun. Yeah. Put the hot dog on it with the chili on top. Come get some, man.
Best idea I've heard for for Super Bowl food every year, so it changes. You take the two teams and you make like three things from their hometown.
Oh, that's a good idea.
So, you know, like.
So what would you make if you're Philly? It'd be the cheesesteak, obviously. Maybe a pork roll sandwich.
We'll have to ask AC.
Oh, AC is going to be answering. Patriot, what'd you eat your Patriot?
Clam chowder.
Nah, you're not going to eat that.
Why not? Sunday. As an appetizer?
No, you're not drinking
lobster
clam
roll.
Okay, that's good. But that's not really Super Bowl food.
Here we go. That's I mean, you know what? They've been in it so much, we're on like item number 25.
You know what I'm going to end up eating when I get home from mine? Because I'm going to be so
snow.
Lit. Yeah, I'll be eating like Chef Boyardee canned spaghetti over
something.
Have
Monica pre-make some chili.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. I asked her last night, I said to her, I'm like, hey, what are we going to have for the Super Bowl? And she goes, I don't know, Jeff. What are we going to have? I'm like, oh my God, we're not going to have any food. It's going to be horrible.
Why don't you call 879-1000 and have something delivered to you?
I probably will, but I feel bad for my staff, you know, because it's going to be a crazy day at Romanto's. I know how insane it's going to be. I don't want to be have them have to make, you know, make me food. I don't even know what time I'm going to be home. I'm here for, I want.
Hey, you're just a normal human being trying to get some food. It doesn't matter who you call.
I want my customers at Romanto's to get the food before me.
So Bon Jovi.
That's me. I want my customers to have the food before me. You see what I'm saying, Bernie?
So Bon Jovi.
I'm a giver. You know what I mean?
So Bon Jovi.
Be quiet. All right, take a quick break. When we come back, we've got AC, crazy Philly fan, angry. I shouldn't say angry Philly fan anymore. He's probably very happy Philly fan. We're going to get the Eagles
perspective. How angry is he going to be when they lose?
Oh, I know. We're going to get his perspective live in studio. We're going to talk about some Super Bowl food. Don't go anywhere. We're Sports Saturday. We'll be right back.
That's enough of the commercials. Sports Saturday is back, and you can be part of the show by calling or texting 802-655-6672. So start dialing now. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
Good morning. It is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.com. It's Sports Saturday. It's Super Bowl Sunday. It's Super Bowl Sunday weekend. It's Saturday. The Super Bowl.
Why aren't we playing the game tonight?
I know, Bernie.
Can you please tell me why?
I do have a great thing to talk to you guys about last segment about. You and I'll talk about that after. But hey, in studio right now, our good buddy from the Philly area. Angry. I'm going to have to change your name. I've always called you. This show is going to be 3 years old at the end of the month. And I've always called you angry Philly fan AC, but now you've got to be, you know, somewhat content Philly fan AC. Good morning, buddy. Welcome to the studio.
Good morning. It's great to be in Patriot Nation. Wait a minute. It felt like Giant Nation for a few minutes.
Here we go.
Well, when Bernie and I are in here, it is Giants Nation.
Yeah. Okay. But he's Bon Jovi.
No, right. I'm not Bon Jovi.
He is.
Well, you guys forget that John Bon Jovi owned the Philadelphia Soul, the indoor football team, and won championship there. But I'll let
just saying. Well, my biggest argument about Bon Jovi last week was that he's jumped ship. He was this big giant guy. When the Giants won the Super Bowl in 1990, the video was all about Bon Jovi following the team. And now all of a sudden he's a big Patriot fan. And what's the matter with this cat? You can't do that.
Bill Belichick.
I'm just saying you can't do that.
Why?
I'm just telling
you. You're doing it.
I'm not doing it. I'm just doing it tomorrow.
He wants to own the Bills.
Right. No, it is true. We didn't want to own the Bills. All right, let's get into your game a little bit. Let me help you with that. You got to talk into the microphone.
Hi.
All right, get that. Let's help him out. Okay. You are an Eagles fan, so we're going to give you a reprieve on that.
But we have to congratulate you because I think at the start of the year, you said that the Eagles were going to be in the Super Bowl.
No, that's not true.
That never happened.
That's not true.
I will give you credit because I am a good friend of yours, and you are a great follow on Facebook, by the way. And you are the first to critique and to go after the Eagles.
Oh yeah.
I mean, even when things were good for the Eagles, when Carson Wentz was playing and they were looking like the best team in football, you'd never know it following you.
No, I am the Clint Eastwood of the Philadelphia Eagles.
You are.
The good, the bad, and the ugly.
Right, you are.
Yep. I just tell it like it is.
All right, so I'm glad you wore the pleather Eagles jacket, which I routinely talk about. I was a little disappointed that I didn't see the Eagle wings when walked in.
No, I just got done doing that. Actually, I was in the parking lot flying around.
Yeah.
So I actually was at a restaurant last night. My daughter told me, please, Dad, do not flap your wings. There's Patriot fans here.
Yeah.
Nah, good for you.
Yeah.
I appreciate that because as a dad, to embarrass your daughter, that's even better.
I believe in, while I'm here, I should annoy every Patriot fan I can.
Well, that's good. And so you did the Eagle flap.
No, I didn't.
Oh, you didn't? Okay. Well, you're a good man. I know. Like that. That's good.
I'll wait till tonight.
All right. Let's get into the game. Okay. So truth be told, now let's get your prediction. You do believe that Philly will beat New England this week?
I do, because every rain has to end.
And you think Nick Foles is going to start that rain?
Well, Nick Foles needs to do his best Peyton Manning imitation tomorrow night, which is from the Denver-Carolina Super Bowl. Don't hurt us and let the defense win the game. So that's what we're looking for.
Can the defense stop?
Oh, yeah, they'll stop. The issue for the Patriots will be they're going to have their hands filled with Alshon Jeffrey and Zach Ertz. And the guy who's going to have a game tomorrow, believe it or not, no.
LeGarrette.
No. See, this is the secret weapon, Aguilar.
And the guy that he's the guy, okay. And Aguilar is the guy that Philly fans have wanted out for years.
Exactly, but he changed his number this year to Lucky 13.
Well, like all the great ones do.
Ray had 8 touchdowns.
Yep,
and he's going to be in the slot, and Eric Rowe won't know what to do with him.
This team Philadelphia has with Carson Wentz, regardless of what happens tomorrow, and Bernie and I have talked about the NFL, and to me, the NFL is really. It's about parity. I mean, you're great for 1 year and then you're average the next. I mean, I think you saw a lot of that with Carolina. You've seen Carolina go from a team that was 15-1 and then not make
Dave
the playoffs.
Hunter's Rams.
The Rams are a good example of that. But when you look at the Eagles, you look at a team that's really set up to be good for a long time.
Well, the issue, I think the thing that we were lacking last year is the fact that we had no depth. And this year, they actually made an effort to get depth.
Yeah.
And depth from the standpoint of Ajayi.
Yep.
Which is
what a pickup that was. You had to be stunned
Nick
with
Foles.
That. Yeah.
He wasn't with us last year. So just those two pickups make a difference.
Now, you watch, you obviously the Minnesota game, I think people thought going into the NFC Championship, the best football team in the league, the two best teams were the Patriots and Minnesota. I think people felt that way. And Philadelphia just ran them over. The best defense in the league in Minnesota, I mean, Nick Foles really made them look average. What happened in that game?
I think you have to go to the week prior.
Yeah,
the week prior, that game between the Saints and the Vikings, I think emotionally took so much out of the Vikings that they couldn't sustain that for two consecutive weeks. I mean, that game where they barely won, there was no way they were going to be able to do that.
Do we have a phone call?
Yeah. So, Mr. AC, Christine in Essex has a question for you.
Oh.
Yes, AC, heard you were at a restaurant last night, I guess you didn't flap your wings, but you made it known that you were an Eagles fan. Just kind of wondering your thoughts on who do you think is more hated, Patriots players or Eagles fans?
That's a good question.
That's a great question, Christine.
That's a good question.
And I can definitely tell you that answer.
Well, there's only the most hated person, and even Tom Brady said this week to a Philly reporter, and the Philly reporter said to him, do you realize you're the most hated man in Philadelphia? And he goes, I would hate me too.
If I was in Philadelphia.
That's awesome. You know what I mean? So it has to be him. I mean, let's face it.
No, come on. No. Not nationally.
He's going to be the MVP, right?
Yes.
Which is good. Which is good because do you know what the record of MVP quarterbacks are in the Super Bowl?
Undefeated.
0-7.
I'm just going to let that sit there for a while. Okay, I'm just going to say this. There is no possible way that any Patriot player is hated more than the Philadelphia Eagles fans.
Oh, come on.
You guys are obnoxious.
You know what kills me is that statistically, do you know that there are more arrests at Boston sports events than there are at Philly sports events? I know stats like this, 4.7 to 3.7.
Well, that's because people are afraid to do anything to Eagles fans there because their lives are in jeopardy.
Look, it's tough to soar like an eagle when you fly with turkeys. That's what I'm telling you. Okay?
Great call there, Christine. That was a good question. And obviously, AC had all the answers. So I know the other thing about this game is, will there be nerves for you tomorrow? I mean, is there a game plan for you? I mean, the coverage will start probably today at 2 o'clock in the afternoon until tomorrow night. That's the way the Super Bowl is.
Which is, again, why we should play tonight.
Totally agree with you, pal. But my point. I wouldn't mind the game being played, but it is Super Bowl Sunday. We can talk about that after. But it will there be some nerves in the morning? Do you have a plan?
There's nerves now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's been 2 weeks. I got my hockey playoff beard going.
Look at that thing, by the way. I've never seen that.
Yeah, that's coming off Monday, win or lose. So it doesn't matter. I have orders from the people at home. But seriously. There's going to be a box of tissues.
Yep.
Either way, right? We lose, I cry.
We win, we cry. I would say if you win would be more tears of anything
there
else.
There probably will, because then people will have to pinch each other because they won't believe it.
And I'm going to start crying because I won't be able to give you that jab of not being able to win a championship.
Right. I mean, come on. I mean, it's like that joke that says...
We got four, they got one.
Right.
I know, but once they get one, what are you going to say?
It's like those people say, what's a Super Bowl? I don't know. We're Eagles fans.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, all that stuff will be done. Now, you're also a foodie.
Like, I am.
There is no one that enjoys or creates food more than you, AC.
I'm Gordon Ramsay.
I would compare you with Gordon. Okay. I don't know, man. I mean, you talk more about it than Gordon Ramsay does.
Okay.
So I was telling Bernie, I don't know if you heard me before we came on, I have a buddy of mine that comes in my restaurant all the time, and he's making these chili dog basically he's making grilled chili cheese. Dogs out of grilled cheese. Yeah. So is there anything special that's going to be on the menu at your house?
I told you about the Philly tacos. I mean, I think you need to go down to Philly Taco Land and just get that slice of pizza from Momonto's and slide the cheesesteak in there. Forget that's the roll. You don't need it.
No.
And just go nuts.
Yeah.
I think we might see some, you know, basic nachos tomorrow, but we are going to go see Grandma's Pizza. You might be interested in Grandma's Pizza.
Yeah.
It's a flat square crust. It's got mozzarella. It's got provolone and tomato sauce. And you'll see, like, some pepperoni on there, some other mystery meat circles. Who knows?
Oh, I bet that'd be good.
Yeah.
So I have a buddy who I think does a pretty cool thing at the Super Bowl. He always takes the two teams and does, like, the three staple food from those cities.
Right.
What should it be tomorrow?
Well, the first thing in Boston, there's a dearth of food. Like, there's really nothing going on in Boston food wise. You got chowder. Wow. In Philly, I mean, we are known as a culinary capital in the United States. So you got cheesesteaks, you got soft pretzels. And soft pretzels, now you think of soft pretzels, you just eat the soft pretzel. I propose, you take the soft pretzel, you slice it in half long way. And you put ham, Swiss, whatever veggies, you throw it in the oven.
That's a good idea.
And let it melt. And now you got a pretzel roll, basically.
Well, what about, now, the other thing that you're a big fan of is the pork roll.
Oh, my God. Well, the scrapple, too.
Yeah. Oh, right. Scrapple.
Yes.
Hey, you like the, you, what, you, what?
Well.
Isn't that like a pig stomach?
It's the leftover.
It's a pork rind.
It's the nose, the snout, the hoofs, the intestines.
Yeah, Bernie's intrigued.
Yeah,
it's Scrabble as
Scrapple.
In the board game.
Not the board game.
PP.
Yeah, Bernie's never played Scrabble in his life, really? Stay away from that. Yeah.
So it makes it's made into a loaf. You slice it up, fry it. So it's good stuff.
So
and good
so,
for you.
Okay, so the three things that you would choose
would be
a Scrapple sandwich.
Well, you
chili,
have
Philly cheesesteak.
No. You got to do Philly cheesesteak.
Well, you're the one that brought up Scrapple.
I know, but you asked about that pork roll. Pork roll thing is a breakfast thing. And for Giants fans who are from North Jersey, it's Taylor ham, so I don't want to offend anybody. So you got to do the cheesesteak. You got to do, you know, your pretzel sandwich. And I think, you know what? You need to have something that's so Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And that's water ice.
What?
Water ice.
Water ice.
No, it's water. W-O-O-D-E-R.
Water ice.
Water ice. That's the correct pronunciation.
What would that be, Austin?
It's like, basically, it's a water ice made from fake fruit that's put into, it's compressed.
Like wax fruit?
No, not wax fruit.
What the hell is fake fruit?
You got to have, it's fruit, but it's fake fruit juice and you mix it with ice. It's good for you. So those are the three.
It's good for you?
Yeah, those
are the
three.
So why would we want that on a Super Bowl?
You gotta clean it out.
Okay. All right. That's fair.
It's like an intermezzo.
I never heard of watered ice.
Water ice. Yeah, it's a Philadelphia. You gotta pronounce it.
Water ice.
There you go.
Somebody get me a water ice.
It's always sunny in Philadelphia.
It is.
Right?
And tomorrow, after the rain ends, it will be sunny.
All right. So what's your prediction? We only have a couple minutes left. What's your prediction for the game?
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
You are sitting.
Yeah, I'm sitting. I'm high, though.
Eagles, 34.
Yeah.
Patriots, 21.
You think it's going to be a 34-21 game, Philly? This game's going to be over.
Is that like 27-21?
Yeah,
Eagles score late to kind of ice it?
It's not going to be a blowout, but by the end, you'll know who the winner is.
You think Nick Foles is going to put 34 points up on Bill Belichick with 2 weeks?
I think you're going to see someone like Malcolm Jenkins, Fletcher Cox, Timmy Jernigan are going to have interception, fumble recovery.
That's a little more ridiculous than the Nick Foles touchdown.
Can the Eagles get that much pressure on Brady?
Yeah, absolutely.
Is that the key to the game?
The key to game pressure and keeping him off the field.
Okay.
So it's going to be a possession game. We got to keep
every possession every game. 34-21 is not a possession game.
For us, you got to keep him off the field.
I'm just going to tell you right now, 2 weeks of Bill Belichick getting ready for you, not a chance.
No.
Bon Jovi over there.
Not a chance.
Bill's worried about other things like, you know, where's his next job and stuff like that.
AC, you are always a pleasure to have on,
buddy.
Thanks for taking the time. So rest of the day, what are you doing the rest of the day? Is there like, you know,
we got hockey game galore going on.
Yep.
We're going to be in Essex.
Your daughter plays for Essex High School, right?
Yeah,
so you traveled up here from down there?
My nephew plays for Essex High School.
Oh my God.
We'll be all over the place.
Are you going to be full Eagle gear out for these?
I am going to be fully loaded today. Yes.
Eagles gear.
And you got to fly in and out of every building.
You want to lead us out with the song, the Fly Eagles song?
You want the whole song?
Yeah, let's do it. Hit it up. Okay, here we go.
Holy cow. Fly, Eagles, fly.
Bum, bum, bum.
On the road to victory. Fight, bum, fight, bum, fight. Bum. Fly, Eagles, fly.
Bum, bum,
score
bum.
A touchdown. 1, 2, 3.
Bum, bum,
hit
bum.
'Em low, hit 'em high. And watch our Eagles fly. Of course, so many. Fly, Eagles, fly. On the road to victory.
Eagles. Our good buddy AC, angry Philly fan, but feeling pretty good about himself. We're going to get a quick break when we come back. We're going to talk about Super Bowl prop bets and who Bernie and I think are going to win the Super Bowl. Don't go anywhere.
All right, that's enough of the commercials. Sports Saturday is back, and you can be part of the show by calling or texting 802-655-6672. So start dialing now. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
So just a quick message. I know my wife is outside waiting for me in her friend's car because we're going to travel together to this wedding. She's not going to come in. She's been texting me. She's like, "You're coming out now." I said, I'm just to let you know, honey, I've just got to finish this segment. It's like 4 minutes long. I'll be right out.
Wow.
She doesn't. Yeah, she wants to get on the road to get over there. Hey, you always mention that you think the Super Bowl should be played on Saturdays because production the next day is ridiculous. You know, you understand all that. How about this thing? This is something. Americans, this is in the New York Post this week, Americans want the day after the Super Bowl to be a holiday. 1 in 4 Americans, that's 24%, say the day after the Super Bowl should be declared a national holiday, according to the new research. A study into Super Bowl viewing and snacking habits of 2,000 Americans found many of them feel passionately that they should be able to rest up the day after the sporting celebration.
All the more reason to play on Saturday.
The survey by Jack Link's Protein Snacks found that 1 in 6 Americans are even considering taking a sick day. I'm sorry, it's only 1 in 6. Are considering taking a sick day on the Monday after the game. Results showed food will play a central role in this year's festivities, blah, 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 blah. With the average party host planning to spend $61 on snacks alone. First of all, if you interview 2,000 people that are going to watch the Super Bowl, and only 24, is that basically how it comes out? 24% of them wanted the day off? I can't believe that was that low. Who wouldn't want the day off after the Super Bowl? If you're a big time fan, you're in it all day for the Super Bowl, right? Parties are happening. You know,
if you're a big time fan and it's your team, don't you want to be with like only 2 or 3 people so you can just lock in and watch?
I think that's what my point was. If you're a fan of the team, I'm with you there. Like I'm just like, for example, if the Giants are playing, I've got to be by myself, maybe with people that I know are also Giant fans. I'm focused. But if you're talking about a game like tomorrow that I don't have a rooting interest in, you know, you're hanging out with friends, you might get there early, you're making all this food, you're having a couple cocktails, you're having some fun, the game starts at 6:30, it's a good game, next thing you know, the game's over and it's 11:30 night, you got to go to bed. I mean, you know, I'm surprised that it wasn't a higher number that wanted the day off. I would, you know, I'd be all in for that. A little day off after the Super Bowl, that'd be good.
Again, everybody could have the day off if they played it on Saturday.
You can't have Super Bowl Saturday, Bernie. I mean,
Jeff.
You can't have it on Saturday. I know I accidentally said I agreed with you when you Austin
did.
Was in here, but I don't agree with you.
Oh, Bon Jovi.
I made a
go.
Mistake. I'm not Bon Jovi. So, have you ever heard of this? Can you imagine listening to Super Bowl Saturday? I mean, what's wrong with you? Super Bowl Saturday. Sunday.
Why can't we play at 3:30?
I'm game with that.
Let's even 5.
Yeah, okay. 5 o'clock is good. I mean, what's wrong with playing at 3? What's wrong with playing it at 1? That's when you mostly play. How about 4 o'clock? Like every big game seems to be like the 4 o'clock game. That's kind of that no, was the prime
4:25.
Time. 4:25. Oh,
I'm happy with that. I'm glad we came to this decision.
Yeah, 4:25. Okay, that we'll do. Super Bowl starts at 4:25
on Sunday.
On Sunday,
pregame starts at noon.
Yeah, well, you can start the pregame whenever you want it. I mean, yeah, you want to start at noon? You want to start at 8 o'clock in the morning? You want to start at 6? You want to start at Monday? The Monday before? I don't care. But I'm just saying. The game, I'm with you. But
4:25 on Sunday.
The game starting at 6:30 is definitely,
Man, Monica's just killing you right now.
Oh, I know. There's no question about
it. We got to go, Jeff.
Oh, yeah, she's mad. She's mad. That was my dad. Who pays for that? Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, who pays for that? That's right. People want to be on prime time, man. That's what Cats Put pays the big bucks.
Why does it always come back to the almighty dollar?
That's the way it always comes out. By the way, my cuckoo, the cuckoo McClahy, that gets mad at me about the Giants. Did you happen to watch Jeopardy this week? Those guys that couldn't answer any of the football questions on Jeopardy. Did you see
Easiest
that?
Category yes. ever.
I, in Beautiful. My whole life, have watched Jeopardy. Not that I watch a lot, but every time I watch Jeopardy, I can't get any of the questions right. I'm embarrassed myself when I watch. Even when I'm by myself, I'll scroll through, and there it'll be, and I'm like, I'll watch it for 2 minutes. And I'll look like, I'm like, I got to get out of this. I'm hurting my feelings. Those were the only questions I've ever gotten in a row on Jeopardy. when I saw those. I knew and, all of them. Boom, boom,
and,
boom.
And I love the way Alex Trebek was like, I'm not even going to give you guys a shot. It's the purple people.
Oh, my God.
Alex,
he went right Alex. After them. Oh, yeah, he was great. Good for Alex Trebek. All right, guys, listen. I'm leaving. SportsCenter's coming up next. Bernie and Aaron are going to drive this thing all the way back, which will be awesome. Much better than having my voice on here. Hey, have a great weekend, my man.
You too,
Aaron,
buddy.
Good luck to your Patriots and all you Patriot Eagle fans out there. Enjoy tomorrow. You never know when it's going to happen again, man. As Giant fans, you just never know. We know. You got to take advantage of your opportunity. So Eagles, Patriots tomorrow, 6:30. If you're going to be traveling like me, you can tune into 101.3 ESPN. All the coverage is right here. It starts at 2 o'clock. And as usual, Sports Saturday's back at you next week. With me and, are you back next weekend with me?
I am.
Awesome. All right, guys. Have a great weekend. Bernie and Aaron are taking you home. Talk to you next week.
All right. That's enough of the commercials. Sports Saturday is back, and you can be part of the show by calling or texting 802-655-6672. So start dialing now. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
Good morning, and welcome back to hour number two on Sports Saturday. Jeff Paul leaving us high and dry to go to a wedding here for hour number two.
How could he?
I don't know, my man. I don't know. So you're gonna have to carry me now for this next hour.
So, how about them Knicks?
Okay, I'm not ready for that. But you know, an interesting and fun first hour as we had our angry Philly fan live in studio. Talking a lot about the Eagles in hour number two. We got Chris Villani coming on from WEEI to get the Patriots perspective. And then at 11:40, UVM men's assistant basketball coach Ryan Schneider coming on to talk about the big matchup for the Catamounts against the UMBC Retrievers. So he'll be on at 11:40. And now, you know, now we just kind of catch our breath as we get ready for Super Bowl Sunday. What are your plans for the Super Bowl?
Me and my family are just staying home. It was my dad's birthday the other day, so we're doing a little party for him beforehand, and we're gonna watch the game. Hopefully the Pats pull one out again and we can get our sixth ring. To have him on two hands.
It is nice. I mean, even though they're tainted, but we don't need to get into any of that stuff. You know, I'm not gonna be that guy.
You took two from us, man.
Yeah, that is true. That is
happy
true
with that.
that is very true. What do you think the keys to the Patriots' success will be this Sunday?
Well, one of the things I talked about last week on the show was that I think it has a lot to do with the front. If the Patriots can get pressure on Foles in a way that he hasn't seen so far in the playoffs, that could be huge, because I think a big reason why the Eagles have had so much success at quarterback is that both of their quarterbacks have gone relatively unpressured. I also think if the Patriots can hold off the Eagles' front, then they can get things working on offense. And the only way to beat Brady is with a four-man front getting to him. So I think it's a game of fronts this week.
So for all the Patriot fans out there, please give us a call or text us, 655-6672. Do you have any rituals? Do you have any, things, superstitions out there that you will do to try to help your squad win a sixth Super Bowl? How about you, Aaron? Do you have any anything that you do that's...
Well, of course, I have a rain dance.
You do? Wow.
No, I'm not very superstitious. My mom, I was wrong. A couple weeks ago, Jeff asked me the same question, and I told him my mom likes to wear the same Tom Brady jersey. She actually stopped doing that because we were losing while she was doing it. Now she wears the same Gronk jersey every week, but she's more superstitious than I am. I'm not. I just sit down and watch the game.
You just sit down and watch. Like, will you start watching like stuff early, or is it, you know?
I can't stand the pregame coverage.
So let you know when kickoff is about to begin.
Yeah. I want to see the action. I don't need to know what their opinions are, what analysts' opinions are. Which is funny because now that's what I'm doing. But I don't.
So you don't really care about what we're talking about.
Not them. You guys are great.
Oh, okay. Just ask us, right? We're great. Now, how about my favorite thing of the Super Bowl? The coin flip.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I love the prop bet on the coin flip. I am such a tails never fails guy.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I'm a tails man myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, like, as crazy as it is, I think the coin flip is so important tomorrow from a mental standpoint for the Eagles. I think they have to win the coin flip to get the ball in the second half.
Yeah.
I know it's crazy, but I just think, you know, it's like, oh, the Patriots always defer for the second half, so Tom Brady's going to get the ball, and we have to get the ball first, and we got to score.
So you want them to throw off Bill Belichick's routine, is what you're saying?
I think the routine, yes, but more the mindset. I find with the Patriots' victory against Jacksonville, you know, against Atlanta in the Super Bowl last year, when they were on the ropes, everybody gets conservative. If you're going to win a championship, I don't care what level, you have to keep attacking.
Especially against Bill Belichick.
Against Belichick, whether, and even like college basketball, football, soccer, you got to keep going. You just got to keep going. You can't sit back and wait for the clock to run out. You have to keep attacking. And I think Jacksonville got conservative in the latter part on that game. I think Atlanta did last year. And look at what happens, because you're always sitting there, oh, no, Tommy's got time. And I'm not talking about his little clips. I'm saying, you know, Tom Brady's got time. He's going to go out there and he's going to do it. And we got to stop him. And I just think you have to just keep putting it on them. And I think that's going to be the key, especially if Philadelphia gets up early.
So you're saying that teams get afraid that they're going to beat themselves, and that's exactly how they beat themselves.
Correct.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you.
You know, you look at the Patriots, when they're winning, they keep going. They go after the jugular. They are trying to score. When teams are ahead against the Patriots, okay, we got to run the ball because we want the clock to run. And then on second down, okay, let's run it again, because now on third and seven, hopefully we can get a first down. Oh, no, now we got to punt. Oh, no, we only took a minute off the clock, and oh, no, here comes Tom. No, you got to keep going. You got to keep attacking. And I just think that is just so important for the recipe for success, not only for the Eagles tomorrow, but for any team that wants to win a championship. You have to, you know, you have to attack. You got to be the predator. You can't be the prey. You got to go.
But I'm with you. I think you can't be settling for three and outs and trying to take 2 minutes off at a time. But at the same time, I think for the Eagles, it's very, very important that their two big backs, Jay Ajayi and LeGarrette Blount, have a good game, because they are threats that the Patriots are not ready for.
And you have already mentioned about the offensive line and how that's a strength of the Eagles, and how that, again, you know, you always talk about, you look at what the Giants have done with their new general manager. What does he say? The battle's won in the trenches. You look at all the teams that have beaten the Patriots. Battles are won in the trenches, because the offensive line is keeping that team off the field and the defensive line is putting pressure. So, again, it's going to be the tale of the big guys up front that are really, because the skill positions, they're really good. And yeah, maybe there's some questions about Nick Foles, but come on, that guy's a good player.
Offensive line play does dictate your playbook, because you can't run down the field shots on offense if your offensive line's not going to protect, and you can't run big power run plays if they're not going to get push. And then on the other side, you can't get to Brady without blitzing if your defensive front doesn't get to him. And if you can't keep your whole defensive playbook open, he's going to pick you apart.
Yeah, give us a call. Let us know, 655-6672, or text us if, you know, your thoughts about the Patriots and the Eagles, you know, what you're doing, anything out of the ordinary, anything simple, anything fun. Just let us know what's going on out there as we approach the closing of another football season, which I'm not disappointed about, because my team stunk, and I'm not going to mention them because I get enough heckles about who they are. But I'm also real excited, because with the end of the NFL means the kick up of college basketball, and I love college basketball. I think the NCAA tournament is the greatest sport and event in our great country, but I'm also extremely biased about it. But I'm just so excited, as I think there are so many good college basketball teams this year. This tournament is going to be a lot of fun, and it's always even more enjoyable with UVM having the success that they are having. How about you? Are you a college hoop fan, or are you going to have to grow with it with the show?
Oh, I'm going to have to grow for sure. I enjoy watching it. I am by no means an expert, but I do like to sit down and watch it. And it's big in my family. My parents are both, they write out brackets every year, and okay. They're pretty into it. Yeah. My mom's a huge Duke fan.
Oh, I love your mother.
Yeah.
Oh, she even though she's wearing a Gronk jersey, but that's okay. The fact that she's a Dukie, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. How about you? Do you have a squad? Just tell me it's not Virginia.
It is not Virginia.
Okay, good.
I do not care about Virginia.
Okay.
Personally, I'm a Ducks fan. And
okay.
Yeah.
All right, I can live with that.
Yeah.
Tell me how.
Well, because it started with college football.
All right.
I didn't have a team. You know, we don't really have a team. We have Boston College, but not really a team. So I just kind of picked whoever I've felt the happiest watching. And the Ducks could get me excited on Saturdays, even though they weren't really my team. So they became my team. And I just it went over into basketball, because why not?
Because they were good also at the time. So that wasn't a bad thing to watch also.
But I'll always be rooting for UVM too.
Of course.
I mean,
that's a given. That's a given.
Wish they had a football team. That'd be cool.
it would be interesting. It'd bring another different perspective to the university. But they're having a good winter. The men's team once again. The hockey teams are rolling. You know, skiing is always good. So it's good to be a Catamount fan.
Yeah, that basketball team's phenomenal. You think they're going to the tournament this year?
Yes. Yes, yeah. I do. I think they are the best team in the league. I think it's very important for them to win the regular season championship, because I think it's really hard to come into Patrick Gym and win, especially of a game of that magnitude, especially with the experience that this team is bringing back, a team that has won it with a lot of returning players. So I think I'm really excited to see how they respond tonight, because, you know, they went to Binghamton and it was kind of they won. And to say you win by 14 on the road and you don't play well, that shows you how good you are.
Yeah.
And so I'll be interested to see how they respond, because they didn't play well. I mean, they held them to 54 and they rebounded great and they did that, but...
But Binghamton had only won one on the season, right?
Correct. And that's the thing. You know, it's one of those games where it's like, okay, we know we're going to win. We just got to do it. And it just took them a little bit to get going. And, you know, now they got the biggest bullseye on their back. And UMBC's second in the league. And this can really put some distance between themselves and the rest of the league by winning this game tonight. So I'm just I'm excited. 4 o'clock tip. There's a women's game at 2 o'clock today. That'll be a good one, as Vermont won down at UMBC, the women, earlier in the year, and they'll look to get that season sweep. But a lot of exciting stuff, and you know, it's going to be a good Saturday to get out and either watch some college basketball, go to a game, and get ready for Super Bowl Sunday. It's just funny how time is flying, and we're ending the football season and getting ready for the college basketball season to get into high gear.
Hey, if you want to pivot back to football for a second, we got Jason on the line. He wants to talk about your coin toss.
Okay,
the coin toss stuff.
I'm in. Jason, what's going on, my man?
Hey, not much. Happy Saturday. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. What do you got for me?
Hey, I just reading here that the Patriots have made the Super Bowl. In each of their victories, they lost the coin toss. Super Bowl 36, 38, 39, 51.
Wow. Well, so much
they
for
got my... blown. Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say so much for my theory on thinking about that with the mentality. So,
yeah, I would love to see him lose tomorrow. That's all I'm saying. Lose that coin toss. Let's go.
All right. All right, man. Well, thanks for the call. Enjoy the game. Interesting. You know, here I think I'm smart with a theory and a mindset, but once again, I'm really not that smart. But what else is new, from that standpoint? It's just it's all about a mentality in terms of
you know, you got to believe you're going to beat them, and you got to attack, and you got to go, and you got to go, because you know, there's just so much tradition, and it's hard to beat the king on the mountain. You know, you look at this Patriot team; they're just so good, and they just find a way to win. And you sit there and you go, "How are we going to beat them?" But you just got to believe, and you got to get after them, and you got to play hard. And that's the one thing for the Patriots. You know, when you already have that mentality, that's winning half the game, is I believe in the mindset of the athlete to be successful. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Playing without fear is huge. You were talking about the Patriots, right, with the mentality just a moment ago?
Yeah, they just believe they're going to win.
Yeah, and as a result, they do what you said earlier, which is they go for the jugular. They don't slow down, and they never stop attacking, and that is a big part of why they win.
Yeah, so it's going to be fun. You know, I can't say I'm thrilled to watch the game, but I will be watching as a fan. I hope it's a good game, but we will find out some more.
Well, you have a lot to look forward to, though, as a Giants fan. You know, new coaching staff, and I mean, you know.
Yeah, we'll have to worry about all that good stuff when once the Super Bowl's over. We got to give these two teams the just that they deserve. But you know, when we come back from break, we're gonna have our good friend Chris Villani from WEEI on with us to talk some more Patriots and the Super Bowl when we come back.
That's enough of the commercials. Sports Saturday is back, and you can be part of the show by calling or texting 802-655-6672. So start dialing now. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
Let's go, yo!
Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to Sports Saturday. Bernie Siplicki here. Aaron helping me out.
Hey,
Jeff Paul on the road heading to a wedding. I don't understand, but you know, hey, he's got to do what he's got to do.
It is what it is.
Happy wife, happy life. So I've been told.
It is true.
All right. So it is now time to reach out on our TikTok Jewelers guest line to our good friend from WEEI, my man, a guy I can never get enough of, Mr. Chris Villani. Chris, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, Bernie. Doing well, bud. How are you?
I am good, man. I am good. So it's just you and me. Jeff is gone, so you're going to have to carry me once again. So I appreciate you taking the time.
I'm used to it. I did it for a couple of years with the Catamount, so I'm used to it. No problem.
That's right. That's right. So let's get into it. Before we start breaking down the Super Bowl, per se, let's talk about the Celtics and Jason Tatum. How are they rolling right now? What do you think of where they are?
Well, you know, it's pretty interesting. I mean, last night Tatum was as aggressive as I think we've seen him, really, at a career-high 19 shots. And, you know, you got Kyrie Irving on the bench there. It was funny with the Celtics going with an all-rookie plus Al Horford lineup. They actually got slightly older when you look at their average age. But that just shows you how young this team is. But the thing that I've loved about Tatum all season long, and it was really on display last night, has been his confidence. And he doesn't play like a rookie. I know it's kind of cliche to say, and at this stage of the season, you know, you're this many games in, and in some ways he's not a rookie anymore. But this is still a guy who's 19 years old who seems to recognize the moments where he needs to not be a rookie. It needs to play like a guy who can take over a game. And it can be individual moments in a game just where he recognizes the mismatch, or it can be like it was last night. You know, Kyrie's got a quad, so he becomes the primary option, I guess, other than Terry Rozier was off as well. But, you know, he knows, hey, this is the night where I've got to be big, career-high shots, career-high points, and very efficient, too. You know, he did everything kind of inside, high-quality shots, and got to the free-throw line a little bit, too. So great night for Tatum, and obviously, as the season keeps going on here, he just makes Danny Ainge look smarter and smarter.
And you know, the one thing that I've noticed is I don't think these young guys have hit that proverbial rookie wall. Is that because, you know, there's more days off in between games?
Have you noticed that? Am I, you know, losing my mind by making this suggestion, or do you think that that has something to do with it?
Well, you know, maybe the schedule a little bit. They have relaxed it. You know, they've been trying to manage minutes. And if you look at what Brad Stevens was doing even earlier in the season, he kind of capped everybody right in that 30-minute mark. And it was interesting. If you, I haven't looked at it recently, but if you looked at the stats for the Celtics, just in terms of their minutes played, like the top five guys were basically within a minute or two of each other. So Brad Stevens has tried to be somewhat careful with managing minutes. And there has been a little bit of I'm going to call it a rookie wall or just kind of the ebbs and flows of the season. But, you know, Tatum was going through a bit of an offensive funk a couple of weeks ago. Jaylen Brown is not a rookie, but this is really the first season where he's played these kinds of minutes, has gone through that as well. So I do think it's there. I think the Celtics have done a pretty good job trying to manage it as best they can. And when they get these kinds of performances from, again, Terry Rozier, I mean, that's adding some of that depth that can really help, you know, with some of these other players sort of manage their minutes. And Rozier's a young guy, too. I mean, he's 23 years old, too. So a lot of young guys, a lot of youth on this team, and I think they've done pretty well at trying to find different mixes and weather injuries and kind of weather sort of the ups and downs of the NBA season.
All right, Chris, let's switch gears and talk about those New England Patriots. But before we start breaking that down, what's the worst and or best Super Bowl bet you've ever been part of?
Oh, it'd have to be the OC Human Euro jersey, right? I mean, that's definitely the worst. Wearing that thing on the sidelines at Patrick Gym. I feel like that was a Vermont Stony Brook game that UVM won. So I remember that part of it. And, yeah, wearing your freaking triple XL size, whatever it was, OC jersey. I think OC himself could have gotten into that jersey. I mean, that had to be big on you.
No.
You're a big dude, but you ain't that big. That thing's huge.
Fit like a glove, buddy.
Oh, my God. Well, you're not at your playing weight then, my friend.
That is no doubt
that
there.
That thing is about OC size. So, yeah, I remember that. I saw Coach Becker recently. He gave me a hard time about it as well, but I hope he hasn't forgotten. I wore that thing to the Cats den, too, and I still regret not ordering Buffalo wings that night.
Oh, that's great. So what about the Patriots? What do you think? I mean, you know, everybody's trying to, I think, build a case for why the Eagles are going to win. Tell me why the Patriots are going to win.
Well, look, I think that the Patriots have some key advantages here in, you know, areas that can really pay dividends here. I mean, you look at it, for example, just the Eagles on the ground. They have a really good rushing attack with Jay Ajayi. There's LeGarrette Blount. You know, they got that rookie Corey Clement who's really stepped up for him. But the Patriots, still thinking Celtics, the Patriots have really gotten better on the rushing side when it comes to defense. They've got familiarity, obviously, with LeGarrette Blount because he played on the team, and also with Ajayi. But I think overall, you look at this the Patriots, the way they can attack things offensively. There's a lot of talk about the Eagles' defensive line as well. There should be. They're incredibly deep. They've got the ability to try to minimize some of the damage the Patriots could do with the hurry-up, with Tom Brady, that quick release that he has. But this is still a secondary that I think if they can use, the Patriots can utilize that quick release of Brady, that they can pick him apart a little bit and move the football. So overall, this is a really tough matchup. I think the Eagles are a good team, but I think the Patriots are they're designed to sort of win these kinds of games where if they can protect Brady, get the ball out of his hands quickly, move the ball down the field quickly, you know, I think they can just outscore, do a little bit more than Eagles offense that's playing with a backup quarterback. And I do think highly of Nick Foles, by the way. I don't think he's your typical backup quarterback, but I do think that it comes down to a Brady-Foles matchup. You're looking at making a few more plays late in the game, and I think that's the way it's going to play out. All the Patriots Super Bowls with Brady and Belichick have. I just trust Tom Brady and Bill Belichick to make those plays.
So in a game of this magnitude, you know, the stars are going to be stars. It's always that, who is that person that's going to step up and have that game to make your team win the championship? Who do you see if the Eagles are going to win as that player, and Patriots, if they win, who is going to be that player?
Well, I think if the Eagles win, it's going to be Foles, honestly. And it's really interesting. What I'm curious to see, from Foles and from the Eagles, from their coaching staff, what kind of approach they take. You know, you look at what they did against Atlanta in the division round. It was a little bit more of a conservative offensive approach. It was, you know, not really going to let this guy loose. We got a backup quarterback here. He's only played for a few weeks, so let's kind of have him manage the game, as the cliche goes. Against Minnesota, they went at him, which was interesting because that was a Minnesota defense that's obviously really good, that hadn't given up a lot of touchdowns through the air this season, and Foles torched him. I mean, he threw three touchdown passes in that game, and it was really just a laugher from start to finish. So I think it's going to come down to the quarterback for Nick Foles. I think it's going to come down to his ability to sort of be maybe a hybrid between those two. You can't turn the ball over against the Patriots. They're 15-0. The Patriots are in the postseason. When they win the turnover battle, there's something ridiculous like 160-19 or something like that overall under Bill Belichick when they win the turnover battle. But you also can't win by being cautious and just trying to throw checkdowns all day and trying to run the ball and trying to win. That's not how it works. I mean, even in those Giants Super Bowls, they didn't score a ton of points. But Eli still had to get the ball down the field, get chunk yardage, and come up with big plays, and they did. So that's something that Foles is going to have to do and the Eagles are going to have to do. You know, for the Patriots, it's cliche to say Brady or Gronkowski, but one guy that's been Mr. Playoffs for them has been Danny Amendola.
Yep.
And
yep.
One of the things that's interesting about the Patriots this year, you know, you look at the Eagles, they lose Carson Wentz. That's obviously huge. But other than Brady, you could make the case the Patriots lost their most important offensive player in Julian Edelman with that torn ACL early in the season. So you also make the case the Patriots lost their most important defensive player with Dante Hightower. So they've lost a lot here on both sides of the ball. That said, they are fully healthy going into tomorrow. Rob Gronkowski is ready to go. Everybody's off the injury report. And if the Patriots do win this game tomorrow, I wouldn't be surprised at all if Danny Amendola has a really big game and makes at some point some ridiculous catch or some big play that really lifts the Patriots and really gets them going. Another thing to look at, by the way, running backs. I mean, you remember a couple of years ago against the Seahawks, Shane Vereen had like 12 catches for the Patriots. So, you know, do they use that complement of running backs they have? It was James White last year, so Deion Lewis, James White, Rex Burkhead. Those are the types of guys that tend to make big plays and the kinds of guys that Brady, especially if the Eagles' defensive line is really pressuring, can find quickly, get the ball out of his hands, get the ball moving down the field.
How about you, Chris? What do you have any pregame or Super Bowl superstitions or anything that you will do that has fallen into line with previous Patriot victories?
You know, I don't really – it's tough, and this is going to sound ridiculous to say, but the fact that the Patriots Super Bowls are so spread out, my life has been so different over the course of this Brady Belichick
era. Yeah, no, that's fair.
So, you know, the first one I watched at home with my parents because I was in high school. The next two were in college, including the that Eagles Super Bowl. I can tell you I'm never going to watch a Super Bowl over my buddy Steve's house because that's where I watched the Giants 2007 Super Bowl. And then 2011, I was in Burlington, so I guess I can't come back up there. So the last two Super Bowls I've watched in the comfort of my my own abode here in Watertown, Massachusetts, the Pats are 2-0. So I guess I got to stick with that tomorrow. And I'll be on the air for a post-game show after, so I guess I can't get too crazy at a Super Bowl party one way or the other so I can sound somewhat coherent when I get on the radio. Yeah, that'll probably be the plan for tomorrow.
No Mr. Boston in Boston for you?
Oh, God, no. I mean, maybe to, you know, if they win, maybe to celebrate after I'm off the air. But even then, that feels like more something that the loser should have to drink rather than the winner should get to drink.
Chris, we got about 2 minutes. Give me your prediction on the game and a Super Bowl MVP, please.
You know, I do think the Patriots are going to win, as I mentioned. I don't think it's going to be the kind of game where they really pull away. Although, God, I would love that. You know, 8 of these things it'll be now. You'd think one of them could maybe not take years off our life. But a lot of averages, you'd say maybe we're due for that. But I do think it'll be a pretty close game. I'll say 27-20 pass to throw a number on it. And for the MVP, it's hard to imagine that it'll be anybody other than Brady. But I think, you know, a sleeper to look for would be somebody like a James White or somebody like Deion Lewis. If you're looking for somebody that's a little bit more off the radar. And the fact of the matter is, though, Brady has looked really good this season, even playing through an Achilles, even playing through a shoulder, you know, the hand injury through the AFC Championship game. But he's healthy now. I'd look for him to have a big game against the Eagles secondary, and I think the Pats win by a touchdown. Brady's your MVP.
Chris Villani, thank you so much for the time. Enjoy the game, and we'll look forward to catching up with you soon.
Of course, guys. Enjoy the game, and hello to everybody in Burlington and in Catamount Nation. Hope all's well there.
Thank you, my man. Chris Villani, WEEI, my man, giving us some great Patriot insight. Of course, being the Patriot homer he is, he's predicting the Patriots, but, you know, I got to respect that. And just, again, a quality person, a great announcer who is just so knowledgeable, dropping us some Patriot knowledge as we get ready for the big game tomorrow. But before we get to that big game tomorrow, we got a big game this afternoon that starts the coverage here at 3:30 with the UVM Catamounts hosting UMBC. And when we come back, assistant head coach of the Catamounts, Ryan Schneider, going to break down the game today against UMBC and the Retrievers. He'll be live with us in our next segment.
All right, that's enough of the commercials. Sports Saturday is back, and you can be part of the show by calling or texting 802-655-6672. So start dialing now. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to Sports Saturday. Bernie Siplicki here. Jeff Paul, leaving early, gone to a wedding, leaving Aaron and I high and dry. But that's all right. We're going to fight through, because as we get ready to close out this show, we go to the TikTok Jewelers guest line, and we thank this next guest because he's getting ready to run a film session for the University of Vermont men's basketball, assistant coach Ryan Schneider. Ryan, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing great, Bernie. Thanks for having me on, man. I appreciate it. Last time I was in a little bit of a warmer climate. Different today.
Little cold down there?
Yeah, well, colder than normal. Usually it's 50, 60 degrees down here. Not such the case today.
Well, hopefully your game plan can have the UMBC Retrievers cold from the outside. You know, talk to us a little bit about round two as we get ready to start the second half of the America East Tournament and UMBC and what we got to do tonight to get a victory.
Yeah, I think obviously coming off our first matchup with them, you know, we did a lot of things really well defensively. We certainly made life difficult for Lyles, who was, you know, leading the league in scoring. It was certainly a collective effort. You know, he's not the type of player that you can just, you know, rely on with one-on-one defense. He commands the respect and attention of five guys defensively, and we did a really good job making it hard on him. I think it was the only game in a year against a Division I opponent where he scored less than double figures. So he certainly has our full attention heading into today. And if we do a little better job, I think guarding the three-point line, KJ Mora and Arkel Lamar had 9 of their 11 threes the first time we played against them, and that's a big part of their ability to generate offense. If we can do a little better job making it hard on those guys, I think we'll be in pretty good shape today defensively.
Now, today's not only a big game because obviously we want to, you know, keep improving and keep getting better, but you're all opening a new facility for the UMBC Retrievers. Talk to us about what it was like to get a shoot in there and just kind of see it firsthand and what you think of it.
It's a beautiful venue. I mean, obviously, it's exciting. You know, anytime you have an opportunity to be a part of, you know, another program's history and open a new building, it's certainly, you know, probably ratchets things up a little bit, certainly from a attention to detail and a level of concentration standpoint. So I think it's good for our guys to always be challenged to play, you know, in the toughest environment. You know, obviously, you know this better than anybody, Burn. Like, at this time of year, we're getting everybody's best shot, and we know that we'll go into a probably a hostile environment tonight, and you know, we'll get UMBC's best shot. I know they're out to certainly open up their building with a win and keep their undefeated streak at home intact. So we'll certainly be ready for that, and we're excited about the challenge. And as you know, it's never easy on the road, and we'll certainly be locked and loaded here at 4 o'clock.
You know, you mentioned it, you know, easy, not easy on the road, a huge game, to create some separation, you know, in the America East. Just, you know, how much does a victory against the second place team and a sweep of the season series mean to the Catamounts as we get ready to go to Albany and then host a 4-game homestand?
I think, you know, this time of year, every game has so much importance, especially, you know, as you get to the second half of league play. You want to be, this is the time of year you want to be turning the corner and really playing your best basketball. I think there's, you know, across the board, everybody understands and is aware of the ramifications of a win today and, you know, the separation it will continue to create at the top for us. But, you know, Coach Becker's never harped on or spent a lot of time talking about, you know, what each win means or the importance of it. You know, we come to work ready to play our best, execute a game plan, and really just kind of lock in on being ready for 40 minutes, and the results will take care of itself. You know, that's what happened last year, and the same with where we're at now. Obviously, we're playing really well. We're in the midst of a nice streak and a nice run, but, you know, really it's only about going out there and playing well for 40 minutes if we take care of business. Obviously, you know, the ability to create this much separation with only, you know, 7 games left in the conference schedule would certainly be a really nice place to be in. But I don't think our guys are caught up on thinking too much about that. They're more worried about, you know, obviously playing well here this afternoon.
You know, you mentioned about the defensive game plan. How about offensively, if, you know, where we're tuning in to watch the game, what should we as fans of the Catamounts be looking for what we're going to try to do to score the ball?
UMBC does a great job of turning people over. They're forcing 15 turnovers a game. They're first in the league in that. They're one of the best teams in the country at, you know, speeding people up and trying to force them to play, you know, away from the basket, tentative. And so it's almost a blessing in disguise that we had the Binghamton game leading up to this, because Binghamton obviously likes to extend pressure and you know, make it difficult for opposing offenses all over the floor. So we're coming off a game where we thought we were maybe a little sloppy in the backcourt on offense. So, you know, we've spent a lot of time in the last 48 hours talking about handling their pressure, being strong with the ball, making good decisions. You know, in the first game, we only had 11 turnovers. And I think we only had 2 or 3 in the first half, which led to us scoring 44 points. So us being ball tough and taking care of, you know, the rock every possession is going to be really important. And then, you know, offensively, I think we've done a really good job of playing inside out this year, continue to put pressure on their defense around the rim. I think their advantage is on the perimeter with their guards and their ability to generate steals and transition opportunities. And I think our advantage is, you know, playing through Drew and Peyton and, you know, Rob's been a big impact off the bench and getting offensive rebounds, and that's been a great offensive rebounder. Just continue to pound these guys around the rim, and then hopefully it opens up opportunities for our, you know, for our three-point shooters.
You know, there's been a lot of talk about Everett Duncan as he's played so well. Talk about his growth and his work ethic and, you know, just how he just exemplifies what it's like to be a UVM Catamount.
You know, Coach Becker said it the other day in the article in the Free Press. Everything that that we've seen from Everett this year has all been in his own self-improvement. He worked really, really hard in the redshirt year, took full advantage of the opportunity to get better, and he clearly spent a lot of time thinking about and working with and learning from, you know, Kurt. He's seamlessly stepped into that role, and obviously, you know, you don't want to compare Everett to Kurt, but, you know, Everett certainly embraced the role of being not only a glue guy, but having some really big moments in some key spots for us throughout the course of the season. Certainly over the last couple of games, he's played great. He had, you know, 6 or 7 offensive rebounds against Albany, and he's shooting it at such a high clip. He's really poised and stable out there, and hopefully we'll be able to continue to rely on him over the next half of the season.
All right, Ryan. So now, do you guys fly back after the game today? What are your travel plans?
No, you know, we were hoping to, but I think our flights got moved around. So unfortunately, we have to fly out tomorrow. But that's all good, man. Hopefully, we get a win tonight, and I'll be able to enjoy it a little bit here in the Baltimore area, I guess. And give our guys a chance to just kind of relax and hang out here tonight. We're staying in a nice hotel, so guys deserve a little bit of a break and chance to relax and enjoy it if we can come away with a win.
And then how about, you know, I know you're a sports fan. I know you're a Giants fan, which I appreciate. What are your thoughts on tomorrow? Give me a prediction.
I tell you, Brian, I don't know if I've been more conflicted with what to do. I mean, it's like I despise the Eagles, and
understandably so.
I really feel the same way about the Patriots. I guess we've had the success against the Patriots in the Super Bowl over the last decade or so, but I'm probably going to be completely indifferent and just look forward to watching the commercials and hopefully watching a good game, and maybe at the end of 60 minutes in overtime, it'll just be a draw and there'll be no winner. That would be fun with me.
Well, Coach, I appreciate you taking the time. I know you got a film session coming up here. We wish you the best of luck, and we'll look forward to either listening to you here on 101.3 or watching you on ESPN3. And again, we appreciate you taking the time, and good luck to you and the team.
All right. Thanks for having me on. Enjoy the Super Bowl tomorrow.
All right, buddy. That was assistant coach Ryan Schneider as the Catamounts get ready to take on the UMBC Retrievers in their brand new $90 million facility that's been built that they get to open up. And how great would it be if, in the first game, the Catamounts just kind of say, yeah, who was the team to get the first win? That's the University of Vermont.
That'd be awesome. It'd be awesome. They could hang that over their heads forever.
Yeah, no question. You know, something, you know, like when the Giants opened up Dallas Stadium and they won that first game in there, and Jerry's World, and so that'll be something that'll be good. But it's going to be a tough task for the Catamounts today. UMBC second in the America East, and it's just again a team that has a very dangerous and capable scorer, as Coach Schneider mentioned in Lyles. And a team that shoots the three, and if they get hot, they can beat anybody on any given night, which is true for any team, but especially here for UMBC. So hopefully the Catamounts defense can continue to play well, and they can continue to rebound the ball and get out of here with another America East victory against the Retrievers.
And again, we have that coverage here starting at 3:30 pregame, 4 o'clock tip-off. And I'll be Sam Hyman on the call, and I'll be right here in the studio. Running the board.
Oh, you're on the board today?
I am on the board today.
Where's Brady?
Oh, Brady. Brady's on his way home from Minnesota. He was at
Lady
O'Row all week.
That's right. He didn't get back and not getting back. Yeah.
No, he needs to rest up. He didn't get to sleep in a bed all week. He had to sleep on the floor. So.
Hey, man. Got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what he does. He takes one for the team. He's out there doing those great interviews. But I wonder how bad his back is.
Yeah, that's a good question. It was good of him, and I figured I'd help him out, do a little work here.
That's nice.
What they pay me for.
That's a good thing. Well, don't screw it up. A lot of people listening to this game. Big game today.
I am always perfect.
And with Sam making the call down there, it's always good to listen to Sam, as he does a great job. And it's going to be fun, but again, it's going to be something that Catamounts got to be ready to bring their A game, because if they don't, they could be in trouble. I don't want the streak to end, but does it have to at some point, or can they keep doing this?
I think they've got the conference in the bag. Trey Bell Haynes is on fire, man.
You're right. Trey Bell Haynes has just been one of the greatest stories in Catamount. Catamount Country, the reigning America East Player of the Year, and just somebody that, just gets it. He just wins.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about this team. They just find a way to win, whether it's Ernie Duncan hitting threes, Peyton Henson and Drew Urquhart inside, Trey Bell Haynes taking over. It's always somebody different on this team that steps up to get them a victory, and hopefully that continues this afternoon. 4 o'clock start, like we said. 3:30 pregame coverage begins here, but that music means we got to take a little break, and we come back, as our friend Jeff says, like to tie a bow on this show, as 2 hours are almost up. And what, like I said, when we come back, we'll get your Super Bowl prediction and we'll wrap it up.
All right, that's enough of the commercials.
Sports Saturday is back, and you can be part of the show by calling or texting 802-655-6672. So start dialing now. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to the last couple minutes of Sports Saturday. I'm Bernie Staplicki. Jeff Paul was here for the first hour, but he's en route to a wedding on Super Bowl weekend. Good luck to him with that. So Aaron and I have been holding down the fort. Couple of Town Fair Tire text lines. We'll get to the in a week or so, maybe next week, if not in the near future, the co-op team between Burlington and South Burlington. We'll touch base on that. And then also another note about how, you know, isn't it great how UMBC has a new arena, and when is Vermont going to get theirs? Well, hopefully it's coming, and hopefully it's coming soon.
Yeah. Well, the question about Burlington High School and South Burlington is actually just whether or not you think their name will be the Seawolves.
Makes sense.
It'd be cool.
Yeah, it'd be cool. Yeah. Why not? Hey, I'm just glad, you know, that teams are playing and kids are going to have the chance to play, and all that logistical stuff will work out in the near future. And, you know, again, as for the arena, everybody wants it. They're working on it. We just got to continue to be patient, and, you know, we're just having that success. So that's a good thing from a Catamount fan. And, you know, even the hockey team now starting to roll. I think undefeated in their last four games, the women's hockey, men's hockey, just playing some good stuff right now. So make sure everybody in action, I believe, today in terms of all those three teams, and the women's basketball team playing at 2 o'clock today. So, you know, make sure you get your Catamount green and gold on and go find someone to cheer for today.
You're on the call for the women's game, aren't you?
I am. Yeah, I'll leave here, go get the shirt and tie. It's a you know, pink out, Cancer Awareness Day, so going to be a fun one on at Patrick Gym on Tom Brennan Court, Catamount Country, and you know,
yeah,
see what happens. Hopefully they beat them last time, and hopefully they can get them again this time. But you know, another great show that we had today. We had our angry Philly fan AC was in, and he was a great interview. We got to sing the Fly Eagles Fly song, which was a little interesting, but hopefully, if the Eagles do win, you know, on the huddle, that can be the intro song to really, really get Arnie pumped up and get Brady and Rich even more salty if their team loses.
Ah, yes. I will make sure Arnie has that song. Even though I'm a Pats fan, I'm always down for a good joke.
Yes, yes. That would be a good one. I'd also like to thank my my good buddy Chris Villani, WEEI, with some great insight about the Patriots and you know, just what he thinks they're going to have to do to win the Super Bowl. And also Ryan Schneider, assistant men's basketball coach, taking some time, you know, before the big game this afternoon at 4 o'clock down at UMBC. Again, a game, again, that can be heard here at starting at 3:30 with the pregame coverage. We appreciate him taking that time. And, you know, now it's on to Saturday. We get ready to go. And a lot of good sporting events out there, high school, college, all around Chittenden County and our great state. So if you get the chance, go out and cheer a local team on. And finally, Aaron, as a Patriots fan, what is your prediction for the Super Bowl?
Well, sorry, Chris. I think they are going to take a few years off our life again. I think it's 28-23. Pats take it late.
28-23. Pats take it late. So they're going to hold the Eagles to a few field goals, be down 23-21, and once again.
Oh, yeah, James White into the
James
end zone.
White.
Mr. Playoffs.
Okay, Mr. Playoffs. I do like his prediction about Danny Amendola. I think he could have a big one. But
against his former team.
Yes.
He's got the jersey mounted on his wall. I'm sure he's looking at that today, thinking about tomorrow.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun. A lot of subplots, a lot of different plots. Again, I am going with the Patriots winning 31-27, and I think that's going to be more of a Eagles score late to give the all the gamblers the backdoor cover on the Patriots, because it'll be 31-20. But with that said, we'll see what happens. We thank you all for listening. We hope you have a great and safe Saturday. And as you get out there, all that we ask, be kind to each other and be kind to another person and do something good for somebody. Have a great day.